Reaching up, reaching over, and reaching out. We are New Life Christian Fellowship. For service times, articles, or recordings of our weekly messages, please visit us online at www.nlcfchurch.org. This message is brought to you by Kevin Weeb.
I have a short message today before we get to the baptism, and I had planned on preaching a little bit about the topic of baptism, but when I looked at the regularly scheduled passage that we were going to be preaching on today before we scheduled baptism for today, it just seemed very fitting to go through this particular passage this morning. Before we get into our main passage today, I want to begin with a story that Tim Stafford writes in his book, Knowing the Face of God. He says that the story is told about the baptism of a king by St. Patrick in the middle of the 5th century. Sometime during that ceremony, St. Patrick, he leaned on his staff, and at the bottom of his staff he had a sharpened point to help grip in the rocks and in the dirt. But on this particular Sunday morning, as he leaned on his staff, what he didn't realize is that the sharpened end was on the king's foot, and he ended up stabbing the king's foot. He didn't realize it at the moment, but after the baptism was over, St. Patrick looked down at all the blood and he realized what he had done and he begged the king's forgiveness. "Why did you suffer this pain in silence?" St. Patrick wanted to know. The king replied, "I thought it was just part of the ritual." Well, hopefully today we will not have any of those kinds of mistakes or missteps in today's baptism, but I thought that was a funny story to start with. Join with me as we read Matthew 21, verses 1 to 17. You can rather look it up in your Bibles or on the screen. I am reading from the New Living Translation this morning. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. "Go into the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with his colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, 'Look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt.'" The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and all the people around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in highest heaven!" The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked, and the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for a sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, "The scriptures declare, 'My temple will be called a house of prayer,' but you have turned it into a den of thieves." The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles and heard even the children in the temple shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David." But the leaders were indignant. They asked Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" "Yes," Jesus replied. "Haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say, 'You have taught children and infants to give you praise.'" Then he returned to Bethany, where he stayed overnight. This is Matthew's retelling of what happened on Palm Sunday all those many years ago as Jesus entered Jerusalem. And what I want to look at today as I was studying this passage this week, what I want to bring to mind to us is to look at the different responses to Jesus that we see in this story. First, we see that some people welcomed Jesus to Jerusalem as their Messiah. This is where the story picks up at the beginning of Matthew 21. They're coming into Jerusalem. Jesus sends the disciples ahead to get a donkey's colt. And as they enter, Jesus sitting on a donkey, fulfilling the prophecies of the Hebrew scriptures, people lay down their coats, they lay down branches ahead of him so that Jesus' donkey won't have to walk in the mud. So he has a path made before him. people celebrating, singing, calling Jesus their Messiah. So some people welcomed Jesus to Jerusalem as their Messiah. That's the first one that we see. Then as we get to the part where they're entering Jerusalem, it says the whole city was in an uproar as they entered. And they say, "Who is this?" they asked. In verse 10 and 11, then the crowds reply, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So some people were confused about what all this commotion was about. Who is this man? Why is there a parade for him? Why is everybody shouting and waving palm branches? What's all the excitement about? They didn't know this Jesus. So that's how some people responded to this, was in confusion. Some people, as we see later in verse 12, some people ignored Jesus while they corrupted the worship at the temple. You see, people would come from far and wide to the temple, especially at this time of year as they prepared for the Passover, and they would come from far and wide and offer sacrifices at the temple. What they did is what we would call highway robbery today, where they would provide animals at the temple. So these people traveling from far away wouldn't have to bring their own animals. They could bring money instead, which was much easier to transport, much easier to travel long distances with, a lot less danger of wild animals attacking the animal that would have been their sacrifice at the temple. So they come to the temple, and there's people in the temple courts with animals to sell, turning the house of God into a marketplace. And not just a marketplace, but a marketplace where they charge extra money for these animals, and these merchants get rich by selling these animals for inflated prices because of the convenience of just buying the animal at the temple. So they paid no mind to Jesus as he's entering. As the procession is going on and there's crowds shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David," these people were in the temple, not praying, not worshiping God. They were there to make money, more money than what they could have selling these animals in the marketplace as normal. Jesus said, "My temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." And so Jesus drives them out of the temple. So some people just ignored Jesus completely until he drove them out of the temple. They ignored him as he's entering the city while they corrupted the worship that God had intended to take place at the temple. Then we see after he clears the temple that some people were desperate for Jesus to heal them. In verse 14 it says, "The blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them." There were people who were desperate for help, and Jesus was willing to help them. Some people found themselves in a dark way, in a desperate way. Some people found themselves in great, dire need. And they came to Jesus with this need, and he helped them. We also see that some people were angry at Jesus for accepting the praise of the people. The children were praising Jesus in the temple, saying, "Praise God for the Son of David." And then it says, "But the leaders were indignant," so they were angry. And they ask Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" Now, if you don't know who Jesus is, if you think he is just another person, like you or I, then to have children singing that person's praises in the house of God would certainly be concerning. I would be concerned if someone would come in here and start singing my praises or start singing praises to any one of our members, because we are not here to praise people. We are here to praise the Lord our God. But they didn't know who Jesus was. Jesus was God. Jesus was God in the flesh, God's only begotten Son, as the scriptures say. And so the praise of these children of Jesus in the temple is perfectly fitting. Now, the children may not have understood all of the intricacies of what the Bible teaches about the Messiah, about Jesus, about who he is. But that didn't matter in this moment, because what they were doing was right. They were praising the God who came in person. And the leaders got angry at this, wanting them to stop. And if it was just a person, certainly it would have been fitting for them to stop, but this was no ordinary person. Jesus, fully man, but also fully God. And then Jesus points them to the scriptures. "Haven't you ever read the scriptures? For they say, you have taught children and infants to give you praise." So some people were angry at Jesus for accepting the praise of the people. So there's lots of different ways people responded to Jesus. So I ask the question, how will you respond to Jesus today? And I want you to keep in mind as well, as we continue in our service, that later on we're going to hear the testimonies, the life stories of three people. Three people who have chosen to respond to Jesus with their love, with their commitment, with their faithful service, with their whole lives, in fact, who are this day standing up to be counted among the followers of Jesus, starting today, even though they've been following Jesus for some time, but beginning today and on for the rest of their lives, they are committing themselves to following Jesus. So how will you respond to Jesus today? Now, if you've already committed your life to following Jesus, will you use this as an opportunity to worship him once more? Like Jesus' disciples who walked with him for 3 years before this, and now who, along with the procession, gave Jesus praise as he entered Jerusalem. So if you are walking with Jesus already, will you use this as an opportunity to praise the Lord because of what Jesus has done and who Jesus is? And also to praise the Lord for the choices of these three young people that they are making today. If you come here to make yourself look good, we do this sometimes as people. We may not want to go to church, but it might make us look good. It might be what our parents want. It might be a way we gain standing in the community, is to be the good person who goes to church on Sundays, or at least some Sundays. If you come here to make yourself look good, will you heed the warning of Jesus about corrupting places of worship and prayer? Remember the money changers, these people who were selling these animals at the temple. They were using a place that was supposed to be dedicated to worship and prayer and the word. They were using this place for their own selfish ends. And Jesus drove them out. So if you come here today to make yourself look good, will you heed this warning? Take this opportunity to take stock of your inner motives, to accept that kind of correction from Jesus. If you have never gotten to know Jesus, like some people in the city, in verse 10, the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And if this is you this morning, if you have never gotten to know Jesus, will you take this chance to get to know him? And if you haven't gotten to know Jesus, I would encourage you, come back on Friday morning. Come back on Sunday morning. Hear more about the story of Jesus, the Jesus who went to a cross to be crucified, killed because of our sin, who took our place in death that we might live through the power of God. As John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." This is Jesus. If you have never gotten to know him, will you take this chance to get to know him? To listen carefully to the word of God, but also to the stories of these three young people who have gotten to know Jesus, who have been walking with Jesus, and who are now standing up to commit to following him. Maybe today you find yourself in a desperate place. Maybe there's something going on in your life that is extremely difficult, but you come here today to support a friend, a niece, a nephew, family member. If you find yourself in a desperate place, will you respond as the people in this story responded? It says in verse 14, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. If you find yourself in a desperate place, will you come to Jesus to save you? Will you come to Jesus to be the strength that helps you continue on? Will you come to Jesus to be your Savior, your healer, and your friend? And maybe, just maybe, there are some of you here who have been walking with Jesus, but whose faith has grown cold. Maybe you've been following Jesus so long, and through these difficult few years that we have faced these past couple of years, maybe your faith has grown cold. Maybe your love for Jesus is not what it once was. Maybe you've become jaded through hurts or heartbreaks in the church. And if this is the case for you today, will you use this chance to return to him? Will you follow in the example of these three young people this morning and recommit yourselves to Jesus? When Jesus drove people out of the temple, he was cleansing the temple of the corruption that had taken hold. The temple was not supposed to become a marketplace, much less one that was full of highway robbery. But it was supposed to be a place, rather, where people could connect with the living God. Jesus renewed the purpose for which the temple was built. And this kind of renewal stands as a challenge to us to examine our own hearts and the ways we may seek to use the church for our own selfish purposes instead of coming here to worship the Lord. But this story is also an invitation for us to come before the Lord with honesty. It is not a place for corruption, but rather a place where all who are broken and needy can come to find salvation. This is a place where we come to spend time with the Lord our God. It is a place where we can bring everything about who we are, all our brokenness, all our difficulty, and yes, even all our sin. And we can seek the healing touch of our Lord. If your love has grown cold, then consider this an invitation to rekindle and to renew your relationship with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit.